Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen.
Amen.
Many of you know that several weeks ago I had the privilege of going on retreat to a Jesuit house up in Canada. And for those of you who have been on various kinds of spiritual retreats, you'll know that there's usually a lovely rhythm of time in personal prayer and silence, time praying with the community, either with the daily office or with a daily Eucharist, and then lots of free time to explore the land, to read, whatever nourishes your spirit in those other times. All of the time in silence and contemplation sounds really lovely. There's a great Buddhist teacher who talks about meditation in this way, and it resonates very deeply with me. She said, when you go to a lake and the breeze is blowing gently, or birds are diving in and getting fish, fish are jumping, there's always a fair degree of motion on the surface. On those days where things are dead, calm, and silent, it looks peaceful for a minute, until you see all the broken beer bottles and old shoes and tires and other nasty things that have been thrown into the lake. Well, a retreat experience is a lot like that. At first, the peace and silence is really calm and lovely. And then you have the opportunity to see all of the things under the surface that need your attention. So one of the things that my mind does when faced with the hard work of having to look at those icky things under the surface is seek external distractions. This can be very difficult in a mostly silent chapel. Except this time, the first day that I went and prayed into the chapel, I heard a very regular noise in an otherwise still space. So immediately, now I have something else to think about. And it repeated and repeated and repeated. And at some point, it's no longer a nice distraction. It's irritating now. So then you get to look at how irritated you get by silly things like little unexplained noises. So anyway, I went in later that evening. I still heard the noise. Back the next day, still heard the noise. So finally, after a few days of this, I waited until the chapel was empty and then went exploring. There was, in the very back of the chapel, toward the floor, there was a window, a casement window. And sitting on the windowsill outside was a beautiful little sparrow, flying repeatedly into the window. Peck. She wasn't injuring herself. It was so low to the ground that she was on the sill and she was just flying a very short distance. So it wasn't, for those of you who have had that horrible experience of a bird crashing into your sliding glass door or something, it wasn't that dramatic, but very, very persistent. I went outside the next day to see what she saw, because that's a lot of time for a bird to spend on a windowsill, day in and day out, flying at a window. Well, sure enough, in this small window, the way the light hit it, there was the perfect reflection of a glorious, huge fir tree that was right behind it. So she thought she was flying for the tree. So of course at that point, then every time I hear that noise, I'm praying and we're like, turn around, little bird. And it was just such a poignant moment. She thought she was flying for freedom and for the tree. And she kept hitting the window over and over and over again. This became the perfect metaphor for me on this retreat and in life for sin, and for the ways in our lives that we fall short of the mark. This is the understanding of sin that Paul gives us over and over and over again in the New Testament. Not that we're evil and horrible people, not that we're, you know, fundamentally corrupted, but that we miss the mark. For me, missing the mark can take a number of different forms. Like the little birdie, there are some qualities of missing the mark that are persistent and repetitive, and you're not really sure where they started. I mean, who knows how she landed on that windowsill and thought that was the way to the tree the first time. So I love junk food. That's just one of my vices. I love Cheetos and Doritos and Skittles and all of those things that are horrible for you. And I eat them mostly in moderation. But I've noticed over the years that when I get stressed, instead of having Cheetos as a special treat, you know, once a month or every couple of months, they're finding their way into the shopping cart every time. Or ice cream. How many of you like ice cream?
Yeah.
So ice cream is so delicious and, you know, a wonderful treat to ourselves occasionally. Every night is probably leading in the wrong direction. Not something horrible in and of itself, but when you lose consciousness about what you're doing, the cumulative effect can maybe be really irritating, but likely is damaging to you. If that little birdie had kept doing that over and over and over and over again, she would have eventually died if she never figured it out. I'll tell you how she figured it out. Another way that I find myself missing the mark is when I think I'm initially doing something for good intentions. Say, for example, if there is a friend in your life who is struggling deeply, or a family member who's going through a difficult patch in their life, or maybe struggling with physical illness, mental illness, addiction problems of any kind. We have for ourselves the mark of being loving and kind and compassionate as friends, as family members. But sometimes in shooting for that mark, we can lose track of it and get distracted by all of the tasks of caring. We can exhaust ourselves to the point that we're actually no longer being loving and caring, but are short and mean-spirited and have a bad temper about what we thought was a good intention. Now, we see in the story with David this morning, there are other times when we miss the mark in really bad and intentional ways. I think for most of us, that kind of sin is very infrequent in our lives. We all have made those mistakes, possibly knowingly, that you really are just wracked with guilt about. But the question is, how do we find those points of intervention that help us stop the peck, peck, peck? For the little birdie, what seems to have happened, I'm not entirely sure because I didn't witness it, but there was one morning when I was in there that I heard a louder than usual thump. And I think what might have happened is she hit the window so hard she fell back away from the windowsill. And when she stood up and looked around, she realized, oh, and flew off in another direction. Because I never saw her again after. So for some of us, those repetitive bad behaviors or just bad habits that we get ourselves into, eventually, like if I ate Cheetos every day of my life, I'd have high blood pressure before next year. You know, so at some point there might be something that knocks you off the windowsill and you have to come to account with whatever it is that was happening in your life. Or if one of your, you know, bad habits is being hypercritical or saying mean things, you know, at some point, your friends and families are going to call you to account for that or no longer want to spend time with you. In some instances, when we have those big things in our life that we need to be held accountable for, God willing, we have somebody like the prophet Nathan, who will sit with us, will speak truth to us, and say, you cannot do this anymore. This is too damaging to you and to everybody in your life. Stop. Whatever it is that turns us around, that helps us to stop that repetitive peck, 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 it is always an act of complete grace from God, whatever shape it comes in. The woman of the city, who we hear about in the gospel lesson, had something that turned her heart. We're not exactly sure what her sins were, but they were enough. And she turned around enough to crash a party at a Pharisee's house and throw herself at the feet of Jesus. So something caused her to turn. And in extraordinary gratitude, she didn't care what any of those people thought. She was so grateful to be released from that repetitive behavior, whatever it was, that she wept and washed Jesus' feet and wrapped his feet in her hair and anointed him with oil. That freedom, that sense of turning and flying for the tree instead of the window, is exactly the gift of forgiveness that God offers to each and every one of us. So my prayer for you and for me this week is, as we sit with these stories and let these lessons and images sink into our soul, that God graces each of you with the strength and the insight to see those areas in your life where you are peck, 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 to help you feel that extraordinary love and forgiveness that Jesus and God are extending to you at every moment, so that you can turn around and fly for that tree, for the open sky, feeling the complete freedom and joy of the abundant life that God extends to each and every one of us.